I find today's gospel to be one of the most powerful passages in the gospels. And every time I read it, there's something that jumps out or hits me in a different way. But I want to focus on three main points regarding the gospel today. And the first point is that Jesus let Lazarus die. He could have healed him, but he deliberately waited. It said that he waited for 2 days, even though Martha and Mary had sent him a message telling him that Lazarus was sick, and he waited. This was basically, from Martha and Mary, it was a prayer. They were asking Jesus, who is God, to heal their brother, and he waited. He didn't heal him. Now, why is it that sometimes God does not answer our prayers? What we see in this gospel, as the events unfold, we see very clearly that Jesus had a higher purpose. And he did answer their prayers, but not when they wanted him to, and not in the way that they expected him to. But he answered in a way that was far more profound than any of them expected. And he ended up working a miracle that was greater than the healing that they originally asked for. You know, Martha and Mary thought that there was nothing more that could be done in this situation. And then the people that were there, the other Jews, they had no expectation that Jesus could do anything for Lazarus at this point. They figured since he was dead, he was in the tomb for 4 days, there was nothing that could be done. They couldn't even imagine that things would turn out the way that they did. But what Jesus did was something beyond any of their expectations. And I think we can learn from that God's wisdom is far beyond our own wisdom. You know, there's things that we do not understand right now. We might not understand why God is allowing someone we love to suffer. We might not understand why the prayer that we offered wasn't answered when we wanted it to in the way that we wanted it to. We might wonder, you know, why someone has passed away that we care about, or someone who's young and maybe has a full life ahead of them. You know, why would God take this person? We might have all these different questions, but in the next life, when we can see things from the standpoint of eternity and see things the way that God sees them, we will be amazed as we look back and see the care and the love and the wisdom that's behind every divine action. Things that we may not understand right now, we will come to see, and we will be amazed, just as Martha and Mary were. You know, think of the impact that this had on them. You know, healing would have been impactful, but nothing nearly as impactful as these events and how they progressed. And certainly if we think about Lazarus, the effect that this had on him, he was dead for 4 days. He left this world and Jesus called his name. He called him back from the dead and he came back to life. Think of the effect that that had and how that transformed him into a living witness to the truth of the divinity of Christ and of the gospel. And because of the way things progressed, countless witnesses came to believe in Jesus. And through the ages, how many people have heard this gospel account and come to believe in him because of the power of this miracle? The second thing I want to reflect upon with today's gospel is actually the shortest verse in all of Scripture, which is, "And Jesus wept." I always found it strange that Jesus wept because he allowed Lazarus to die. You would think, well, if he could have stopped this, why is he weeping? You know, he knew what was coming. He could have prevented this from happening. He didn't. How could he be truly sorrowful if he could have prevented all this from happening, but let it happen anyway? But what Jesus was mourning for, he was mourning for the effects of sin. He knew that it was more important that he raise Lazarus from the dead. He recognized that he had a higher purpose, but he still grieved with the loss of his friend. And he grieved with Martha and Mary because he felt their loss and he had compassion on them. And so he was sorrowful with them. And when we grieve, he grieves with us. You know, he's not happy about suffering and death. He doesn't get any satisfaction from it. It's a necessary effect from our sins and from the original sin of Adam and Eve. But Jesus still grieves with us. And he feels the pain that we feel. And he perhaps even feels it more intensely than we do. And so when we grieve, we don't grieve alone. We do not have a God who's unfeeling or somehow separate from us. He feels the grief that we feel in the midst of loss. And the third thing I want to reflect upon with today's gospel is when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, Martha said, I know he'll rise in the resurrection on the last day. So she believed in the resurrection, and she saw it as a future event. Yeah, this is a future event. I believe that this is going to happen in the future. But what she didn't understand, and what Jesus tries to get her to see, is that the resurrection is not just a future event. The resurrection is a person. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. And the resurrection happens through him. It's his power and his life that brings about the resurrection. So we will participate in the resurrection, and we will come back from the dead to the resurrection of the living if we are united to Jesus Christ. It's not just some separate future event. It happens through Jesus Christ, and if we're united to him. And so how are we united to him? How does that come about? Well, first, through faith, through believing and professing in his divinity. And that faith then leads us to the sacraments. The sacraments like baptism, the Eucharist, confession, these are the primary ways in which Jesus pours out his life and gives it to us. And so the sacraments are gifts to the church, and they're channels of life, the life of the resurrection. You know, this image on the back wall surrounding the tabernacle shows the streams of life that are coming off the crucifix, and it shows sheep that are drinking from those streams. That's the life of the resurrection coming forth from the passion of Christ and from the sacraments that we have the privilege of drinking from. And so it's critically important that we always live and that we die in a state of grace so that we can participate in the resurrection of the living and not the resurrection of condemnation for those who leave this world apart from God. Eventually, unless the second coming of Christ happens, all of us will end up in the tomb. Probably for longer than 4 days. Lazarus was only there for 4 days. But there will also come the day at the end of time when Jesus will call our name and will call each one of us back from the tomb to be reunited with our bodies. And Jesus will triumph at that point in a way that is beyond any of our expectations. Whatever our expectations are, Jesus is going to surpass those, just as he surpassed the expectations of Martha and Mary. He will do that, and his triumph will be so great and so glorious that it will be beyond anything we can possibly imagine in this life. And so we pray that we might remain faithful to Christ, that we might receive the life of the resurrection through the sacraments, so that we may one day enjoy the promise that he has for those who are faithful to him.